Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't think you want me to rejoice in the Lord alone. Amen. God bless you. Good morning on this 15th day of March 2015. Thank you for joining us on the Hour of Overflow and Restoration broadcast. We are so glad that you joined us this morning, and we look forward to spending the next 60 minutes with you. As some of you may know, we were on for only and half an hour. Some of our earlier shows were 15 minutes, but now we have been able to expand to a full 1 hour show. And we hope to bring you a power-packed show, of course, centering around the Word of God, because there is nothing that can help us to know what the will of God is, like hearing and receiving the Word of God. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So we know that the Word of the Lord is important, and so that's why we are going to spend the majority of our shows sending out a word to you. Amen. Amen. So we are going to move forward into our broadcast this morning. We're going to be talking about something that is serious in the body of Christ. So many of the people of God are suffering. So many of the people of God are down, depressed even. I have even seen instances where some of the saints have believed that they need to have a devil cast out of them. Amen. When it gets to that point, how many know that the situation is very serious? So we want you to understand today that there is a way that God can help you to recover fully from whatever it is that's holding you back. Some people are dealing with some very serious issues like depression. Some people are dealing with some very serious injuries as a result of setbacks and disappointments. There are many things that go on in life that causes us to become distressed. Sometimes we walk around feeling like failures, because some things may not have worked out, or some things may not have fallen into our favor. People can begin to believe within themselves that they are a walking misfit, a walking failure, because it seems that nothing ever works out. And so we're going to deal with that, because when things happen one after the other, you can begin to believe that things are not going to work out for your favor. It causes you to think that your prayers are not being answered. It causes you to believe that God does not hear. And when things are not going right, it seems like everybody in the world, their life is much better than yours. You may even walk around wishing that you were somebody else, because you believe that their life is much better than yours. But I want to come and tell you this morning that there are many of us that are going through, struggling with what it means to live in this life. There are things that come to try to conquer our souls, as the old folks used to say. So we are going to delve into some of these matters. We are going to look at some of the things that causes our hearts to become distressed. We're going to look into some things that causes our mind to be uneasy. Sometimes it causes our faith to be challenged as well. So we are going to look at some of those things. Amen. Amen. And while you are waiting, while you are here, go ahead and grab your Bibles. I am a person that believes that we should still bring our Bibles to church with us. Praise the Lord. So go ahead and get your Bibles. and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 41, and we are going to look at a couple of verses as well. You know, on last week we started out talking about this. I believe it was out of Proverbs chapter 18, where the Lord said that a man's spirit can sustain him, and how that if you have the right spirit, the right attitude. I'm not talking about the kind of right attitude that you get from some of the self-help books or some sort of motivational speaker, but I'm talking about having the right attitude towards God, having your mind stayed on Jesus, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. And so we want you to focus on the things that are above and not beneath. Amen. Amen. So we are going to go ahead now and move forward with our broadcast. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. I am your host, Pastor Dexter Scott Christian of Overflow Restoration Ministries, and this is our Hour of Overflow and Restoration broadcast. And this morning we are going to be talking about soul recovery. Praise the Lord, soul recovery. So we just thank you for joining us. And we are joined this morning by a woman of God, one of our pastoral care team, Pastor Rafshan McSween. She is going to lead us in prayer this morning. And while she is praying, when she gets finished, hey, call in. Call some of your friends and relatives and tell them to tune in to our broadcast, and we would love to hear from them as well. If you want to speak to me or give a testimony or a prayer request, once you have called in to the number at 718-766-4882, just press 1. That will let me know that you want to speak directly to me, and I will let you know when I'm getting ready to bring you on. Amen. So at this time, if Pastor Rafshan has gotten on the line, we're going to have her lead us in prayer. Pastor Rafshan, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Rafshan. It's good to hear your voice this morning.
Sir.
Thank you for calling in to share with us a word of prayer. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and let you lead us in prayer. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just lift our eyes to you this morning, Father, to see your glory, Father God, this morning manifest here on the broadcast, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask you, Father God, to open up our hearts, Father God, to continue to receive your love, Father God, that you show us each and every day, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask that you continue to bless, Father God, each and every person, Father God, that's on this line, Father God, this morning, Father God. In the name of Jesus, that have called in on this broadcast, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for what the word is going to do this morning, Father God. For some, Father God, it may be confirming, Father God. For some, Father God, it may be a rhema, Father God. For some, Father God, it may be confirmation, Father God. For some, it may be encouragement, Father. But whatever it is, Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for it being done, Father God, in their lives, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, help us, Father God, to continue to engage our minds, Father God, and to understand, Father God, your truth through your word today, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. For we know your word is the absolute truth, Father God, and it shall not lie, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, for we know, Father God, we are just ordinary people, Father God. But through you and in you, Father God, that we are extraordinary, Father God. Because your word says, Father God, that we can do all things, Father, through Christ that strengthens us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And, Father God, we decree and declare, Father God, restoration, Father God. We decree and declare, Father God, overflowing, Father God, in every part of our lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. For you have given us purpose and you have given us life. through you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. And we know, Father God, that you are the true source of all overflow, Father God, according to your word, Father God, in Psalms 23, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you are our light, Father God. You are our salvation, Father God. In you, who shall we fear, Father God? No man, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. We take authority right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, and we bind up every hindering, every power of wickedness, Father God, that's not of you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that may hinder the work of your ministry, Father God, moving forward through your people, Father God, the people that you have called to do a purpose, Father God, in this time, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And we thank you on tonight, Father. We thank you this morning, Father God, on this broadcast, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We decree that every word, Father God, that comes forth, Father God, it shall be manifested, Father, and it shall be fulfilled in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father, we thank you, Father God, for being in love and being an awesome Father to us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanksgiving this morning and honor and praise, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for you are our Alpha and our Omega, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you are our beginning and our end, Father God. You are our everything this morning, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. But we come to worship you, O Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And in this moment, Father God, I pray, Father God, that you will continue to the work that you have started in this, Father God, that you will continue to finish that which you have started, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And we just thank you this morning, Father God. We love you, Father God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Father. And we come in an agreement to the word on this morning, Father God, and we combine it with our faith, Father God, knowing, Father God, and producing that which you have said, Father God, according to your word, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And, Father, I just ask, Father God, that we would see a manifestation and a demonstration of your power, Father God, continue to manifest in our lives, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, and we'll forever give you glory, Father God, and give you honor and praise, Father God. For we know, Father God, that you're going to restore everything in our lives, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And we know, Father God, that those things, Father God, that we have lost, that we shall recover, Father God, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Pastor Rafshan. Thank you so much for sharing with us that powerful prayer. Amen. As we are getting ready to go into the word, amen. I don't know about you, but I feel ready to go into this word. So I hope you have your Bibles ready. Opened up to Psalms 41. We're going to read a couple of verses. This is the same scripture that we read on last week because this is a continuation of the broadcast from last week. And if you want to check out that broadcast, all you have to do is go to the website at blogtalkradio.com /OR Ministries, and that will take you right there, and you can listen to the archived messages from the previous week. But this message is a continuation of the message from last week. Lord, heal my soul. Today we're going to talk about soul recovery. In Psalms chapter 41, in beginning at verse 4, David said, "Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he tells it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. And evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise no more." He concluded this by saying, "Yes, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Amen. even in those few verses right there, we can hear in David's voice, even all of these years later after this psalm was written by him, we can hear the distress that is in his voice. We can hear the burden, the pressure against him to bring down his soul, to bring him down into anguish. And many of you are familiar with David and are familiar with not only his highs. We know that he was a man after God's own heart and that he accomplished great things. Listen, he was a great shepherd. We know about how David was anointed king after being looked over and passed over. Praise the Lord. But the prophet Samuel said, "Surely you have another son, Jesse." And reluctantly, seemingly, Jesse said, "Well, I got one more that is out tending to the fields," amen, tending to the livestock. And they brought him in, and he was anointed king. That was one high in his life. And we can't forget the battle that he had with Goliath, how it was that with a simple weapon, a sling, and a smooth stone, he single-handedly defeated the champion of the Philistine army. Not to mention that prior to that, he was, you know, fighting bears and lions and doing all kind of big things. And even God said, as I mentioned before, that David was a man after God's own heart. So how is it that a man that has experienced so much in his life, so much success, that it is obvious that God was with him, what brought him to this point where he would cry out before God in such anguish and say, "Lord, heal my soul"? Amen. What happened to him? Obviously, there were some things that happened in his life that let him know that life is not going to always be full of victories. It's not going to always be full of good times, and there are going to be days when there's going to be rain in your life. There are going to be cloudy days. There are just going to be days where it just seemed that you would rather just cover your head up and stay in the bed. Amen. Amen. There are days when it just seemed like, man, if I could just stay in the bed, I won't have to deal with people, look at people, get a visit from people, get a phone call from people. Amen. And it's at those times that you have to say, "God, I need something to take place on the inside of me. I need for you to heal my soul." And, of course, David was a man that was that experienced warfare. He experienced betrayal. He experienced people turning on him. Amen. He experienced people trying to kill him, seeking to kill him. How many know that those things can bring down your soul? They can cause you to feel uneasy. You know, you can feel uneasy when somebody's trying to kill you. You can feel uneasy when you finally realize that there's a vicious rumor out against you. You can easily have your spirit cast down when you find out that somebody close to you is betraying you. Amen. Amen. So then, as I said on last week, this is a continuation. As I said earlier, rather, that this is a continuation from last week. Now, on last week, we were talking about how the spirit of a man can sustain him. If you have the right attitude, if you have your mindset on the things above and not beneath. Remember in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible gives us some things that we should focus our mind on. Whatsoever things are true or honest or just or pure or lovely and of a good report, that we should think on these things. We can't always focus on what's wrong, what didn't go right, what isn't going right. We've got to thank God for the things that are going right in our life. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says that the Lord will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him, because it shows that we trust in him. When we trust in the Lord, he will help to keep our mind in perfect peace. Now look, there may not be peace around you, but there can be peace in you. Praise the Lord. There's a big difference. There may not be peace around you. All hell may be breaking loose around you, but if you keep your focus, my Lord, and I know that it's difficult sometimes, but if you strive to keep your focus on him, then things can be falling apart around you, but God can keep your soul in perfect peace. He can keep you from pulling your hair out. He can keep you from having to depend on taking medications to keep your mindset balanced. Praise the Lord. He can help you from developing ulcers and those knots in your stomach. But you've got to try your level best. You've got to strive to keep your mind on the right thing. You got to strive to keep your mind on the things that are going right. Yeah, amen. You may say, man, everything else is falling apart, but I put my trust in the Most High God. He can keep your mind at peace when everything around you is falling apart. I remember when Jesus was walking on the water and how the disciples were in the boat. And in the beginning, you know, I'm sure that Peter, being a fisherman, I'm sure he felt like that he could handle the storm that was coming up, because surely he was a seasoned boatsman. He was a seasoned fisherman. This was not the first storm that he had seen. So I'm sure Peter was feeling a little confident in his ability to go through the storm on his own. Praise the Lord. But you remember how it was when Jesus came walking on the water and they were in the midst of the storm and they were literally screaming out. They were screaming out because of the storm. And then when they saw Jesus, the storm was so bad that they perceived Jesus as being a ghost, a spirit. Don't you know that things can be going so wrong in your life? There can be so much hell, so much of discontent going on in your life, that when Jesus does show up, you can misperceive, if that's a word. You can recognize Jesus when he is stepping into your situation. Amen. They cried out and said, "It's a spirit." Not only is there a storm, now we got all kind of ghosts and hanks and spirits that's coming to make my situation worse. But what they did not recognize is that it was Jesus that was coming to their aid. Amen. And Jesus told them to fear not. It is I. It's not a ghost. It's not a spirit. It's not another calamity. It's not another failure. He said, fear not, for it is I. And he got in the boat. And when he got in the boat, all it took was one word, one statement for him to say, peace be still. And the Bible says that that great storm became a great calm. Listen, before we go any further, we've got to realize that no matter how much prayer, how much counseling, how many books, how many encouraging statements you read, how many life coaches you have, in the end, only the Lord Jesus Christ can calm your great storm completely. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to that great storm, and once he said, peace be still, there was a great calm. I don't know about you, but that's revelation to me, that in the end, when I get finished sitting in the counselor's chairs, when I get finished reading the self-help books, when I get finished running to my friends for an encouraging word, in the end, I've got to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ to bring peace to my storm. That's why on this broadcast, we let you know that Jesus Christ is the source of it all. He's the source of all overflow. He's the source of all healing and restoration. That without him, none of the self-help books and the counselors will do us any good. They've got to have an anointing upon their life to introduce you or to bring you to the realization that Jesus Christ is the restorer of our soul. Amen. He can bring us full recovery. Praise the Lord. Now, but what if a person's spirit is wounded? When a person has a wounded spirit, his spirit will not sustain him. All of what has been becomes impossible for a wounded spirit. When your spirit is wounded, when you are down in your spirit, when there are things that have come against you to conquer your soul, it makes success difficult in your life. It makes it hard to deal with day to day. People that suffer with depression will stay behind closed doors for days, for months. Some people even stay indoors for years. They develop a fear for coming out and dealing with or facing the problems that are in their life. I mean, that the tragic thing is that there are some believers who are dealing with depression, who are dealing with setbacks that have come into their lives and caused their soul to become wounded. Amen. How do you overcome the turmoil of bad decisions, the setbacks of a wounded spirit? How do we overcome failures in our life? When our soul get damaged to the point that we don't even feel like praying. Oh, man. You know, have you ever felt like that before, where you don't even feel like praying? You've been in church and they open up the altar and you don't even want to go to the altar because you feel like that your problem is bigger than the ability of prayer to change things. You know, there are things that happen, and you know what those things are. I don't have to call them out. Some of you have been through some great challenges in your life that set you back, and it was a struggle for you to come out of it. Praise the Lord. So that this is not something that is uncommon. I want you to know, saints of God, that you are not fighting this battle alone. There are many that are in the struggle with you, and guess what? There are some that have overcome it. And if God did it for one, he would do it for you. He will bring you out. If he brought your neighbor out, he can bring you out. If he delivered your neighbor's house, he'll deliver your house. If he brought your neighbor up out of a horrible pit, guess what? He will bring you out of a horrible pit. All you've got to do is say, Lord, heal my soul. Cry out to the Lord and turn to him and say, God, I'm depending on you to heal my soul. Let's look at some other things. When we talk about the things that can cause our spirit to be wounded, one of the things that we have to understand is that spiritual wounds, the wounds of the soul, a soul that has been cast down, those wounds are different from physical wounds. You know, if physical wounds, we don't mind admitting when we're hurt physically, because it's obvious. It would be obvious to you if I have a broken leg. It would be obvious to you if I had a laceration and I was bleeding from an open wound. When people get hurt and incur physical injury, oftentimes help will come unsolicited. I was going up the interstate one day, and I saw a vehicle fly off of the road and start flipping over and over again. And once the car stopped flipping, once it was recognized that an accident was happening, listen, without the person in the wrecked car having to make any effort to cry out for help, myself and other vehicles started stopping to see if the person was okay. to see if they needed medical attention, because we knew we could physically see the catastrophic event that they had just experienced, and knew right away that there was an injury that needed immediate attention. We don't have to call for help many times. And not long after that, the police showed up, the ambulance showed up, all kind of medical personnel showed up to help this person begin to recover from their injury. Because physical injury is obvious. Amen. People will rush to your aid immediately when they see that you have suffered a physical injury. An open wound, your body has been damaged. They will rush to your aid. Amen. People will dial 911 and call for help and then come and tell you that help is on the way, that 911 has been called. And even though your injuries may be serious, it does bring you some hope that your physical injury will be made right, because you know that help is on the way. But the difference between physical wounds and spiritual wounds is that spiritual wounds are not so readily visible to the people around you. And we have become, listen, we have become experts at hiding when we are hurting on the inside. You know, when we were children, we didn't mind letting people know how we were feeling on the inside. If we felt like crying, we cried. If we were mad, we would fold our arms and we would pout. If we were sad, we would put a sad look on our face. But when we became adults and got into the rigors of a competitive world and started striving for success, and we are told that we've got to make a name for ourselves. Don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them see you cry. Don't let them see you distressed. We had to learn how to cover up what we were really feeling on the inside. And so when we got used to putting on a stiff upper lip, at some point we began to believe that even when I am emotionally wounded, I need to hide it. My God, I need to hide it. I need to cover up when I'm hurting on the inside. And a lot of times when the people of God are hurting, when people in general are hurting, they do some strange things and even harmful things to cover up the fact that they are hurting on the inside. Some people do painkillers. You know, some people, they can't come home and go to bed at night before they do something to cover up the pain. Maybe it's a alcoholic beverage of your choice that you have to use to cover up the pain, to calm your spirit. Maybe you have to take a drink so that you can sleep. Maybe you have to pop a pill to calm you down. Maybe you want to just run away. Have you ever felt like just running away and getting away from everybody that know you and just go somewhere where you can be anonymous? That's why a lot of people relocate a lot of times. They move out of the city, out of the state, to another part of the country. And they do it in the name of getting themselves a fresh start in life. And though sometimes it may be necessary for you to get into a new environment to get a fresh start, but if you don't deal with the wounds that you incurred in the old place, you would carry that same hurt and repeat the same mistakes in the new place. You've got to deal with the storm that's on the inside so that you can have peace even when there is a storm going on the outside. Praise the Lord. Lord, heal my soul. Help my soul to recover. A wound that's left untreated gets worse, and it will never heal. I know this individual. Every time you see him, He is picking at a sore on his arm. You know, every time you see him, he takes his fingernail, and if he sees a scab, he has to re-injure himself. Isn't that something? He'll see a wound that is almost healed, and he will start picking at it and take the scab off of it and reopen the wound, and then the wound is right back where it started from. It's bleeding again. It's oozing again. It never heals because he won't leave it alone. Sometimes you have to leave stuff alone and give it a chance to heal. Leave it alone. Yeah, it may still hurt, but sometimes you've got to give that thing time to heal up and do what's necessary to heal it up. You got to clean that wound. Sometimes you have to put a Band-Aid on it. Sometimes you have to put something around the wound to help sanitize it, to keep it from getting infected. But one thing you don't want to do is when it begins to heal and show signs of getting better, you don't want to go back and re-injure yourself. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. When you have begun to get over the person that hurt you, amen, don't call that person back to try to settle an old score. Leave it alone and let healing take place. Give God a chance to speak to your spirit. Help you to untie the knots and the answers in that situation that you don't understand. Allow God to begin the healing process so that you can be completely healed. Don't go back and reopen the old wounds. That's why Paul said that when you have come out of the darkness, when you have gotten saved, why is it that you would desire to go back into those weak and beggarly elements? Why are you going to put yourself back into that situation that hurt you, that led to your failure, that led to your demise, that caused you to cry uncontrollably in the middle of the night, that you cried all night long, and then you had to get up and put makeup on your face or wash your face, and before you hit the door, you had to fix a smile on your face so that you could cover up the fact that you may not have a physical wound on the outside, but you are hurting on the inside. And before you let somebody see your weakness, you will cover it up and ignore it for the duration of the day, and then come back home and fall into a helpless heap because you will not allow healing to take place in your life. Praise the Lord. You know, if you were to talk to my wife, Apostle Karen Christian, is an excellent, excellent counselor, much better counselor than I am. I'm not really a counselor. I more proclaim the word. Amen, and say, say, well, look, you know, the Lord said that he would help us get through this. You know, the Lord said that these are the things that we need to do. I'm the one that said, well, you need to pray about it and believe God. But my wife has wonderful insight into the human spirit. She can give some God-centered answers, amen, that really help people recover from what it is that they're dealing with. She has tremendous patience with people. And God has people like her in the body of Christ to help people go through what they are going through step by step, day to day, until they can recover fully. Amen. And soon you'll be hearing from her as well. You'll be hearing from her, and she will be talking to you in some later broadcasts as to how to overcome some of the things that set you back. Now listen, there are some things that can cause your soul to be wounded. One of the things, now listen, when I go into this, don't get offended. This is just a reality. A lot of times when I talk about this, people get offended, you know. But we have to address this obvious issue that leads directly to our soul, a lot of the saints of God's soul being cast down. Amen. One of the things that can cause a wounded spirit, listen, is sin. Sin is rebellion against the plan of God, against the plan of God for your life. And when we rebel or when we sin, then it causes separation between us and God and his spirit. In Isaiah chapter 59, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The word iniquities here, it means to be crooked or perverted. It means to be crooked in your character, to do something twisted. The word twisted is where we get the word wicked from. The word wicked means to be twisted, to be contorted in an unusual or abnormal manner. When you are committing iniquities, you are following through on wicked thoughts, crooked thoughts, thoughts that are twisted or contorted, that causes your view of what's true to become untrue. Amen. So the word iniquity means to be crooked or perverted. Amen. Or to be mischievous or to have a desire to do something wrong. Iniquities are mischievous and rebellious acts. Amen. The separation that these things cause causes hurt in your spirit. Look in your Bibles or write this down or whichever way you want to do it. Look at Psalms chapter 38. In Psalms chapter 38, we see here where David was dealing with some of this anguish. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter 38, and I want you to pay particular attention to verses 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and my hand presses me sore. There is no sound, I'm sorry, it says, thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden, and they are too heavy for me. Listen, when you know, saints of God, when we began to get into things that causes our soul to feel burdened. You know, rebellion against God, when you're doing things that you know that you don't have any business doing, listen, it will bring down your soul because you feel like that God don't want anything to do with me. He's not going to hear my prayers. And you know what? David is saying here that God, your arrows, they hurting me. Your arrows are sticking fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. Why? Because David feels the hot displeasure of chastisement coming from the Lord. And listen, I know that this sounds tough, but when you are in rebellion, God will chastise you. He will put his hand upon you to bring you back in order. We've got to understand that there is still a commandment from God to come out of disobedience into obedience. Disobedience will cause your soul to become distressed. David said, I can feel your hot displeasure. It feels like arrows sticking in my flesh. Amen. And there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. David is saying, my whole life feels out of whack. Children of God, when you are a Christian, your life ought to feel out of whack when you are in rebellion. There should be no feeling of stability in your life, because when you are in rebellion, or as some folks call it, backsliding, when you are not flowing in what you know is right, and you have to cover it up, you got to go to church, and you got to look holy, you got to sing holy, you got to be a deacon and act holy. Sometimes preachers preach and try to be holy. Come on, somebody. When they know that there is some rebellion in areas of their life that they must deal with, and that can cause your spirit to be cast down. David said, man, it feels like arrows all on the inside of me. God said, when I inflict a wound on you, in Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah talked about when God inflicts a wound on you, it's incurable. Amen. When God is trying to get you right, man, when God is trying to get you right, woman, when God is chastising you so that you can get back in right relationship with him, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. Because the Lord chastises those that he loves. He said, what kind of father is a man when he don't chastise his children? When he don't bring his children back to the place of obedience. Amen. What kind of father would God be if he didn't chastise us? But the reason why he chastised us here, so that we won't have to experience punishment later. God's chastisement actually helps your soul to recover. Praise the Lord. It helps your soul to recover. It may bring you down in the beginning, but his chastisement helps your soul to recover. So sin can be a reason why your spiritual wound can be inflicted upon your soul. Amen. But God is a God that will help you to recover. God is a God that will lead and guide you into all truth. He is the lifter of your head. God is the one that brings encouragement. Even while you are in a place that you don't need to be in, God will cover you, and he will not allow the enemy to have victory over you, because the Lord knows them that are his. And I don't care what nobody says, God will fight for you. The Bible says that God will fight for you. He will fight for your soul's success. He will not leave you. He will stay with you, and he will fight for you. He is not going to allow the enemy to have victory over you, nor snatch you out of his hand. Look, I am his, and he is mine. And God cares enough about me to chastise me if necessary. He loves you enough to chastise you if necessary to bring you back to where you belong. And he will do it in the name of, this is my child. This one belongs to me. I brought him up out of a horrible pit, and I didn't bring him out for him to be a failure. I didn't deliver him out of the hands of the enemy for him to be a failure, but I brought him out that I may be to him a God, and that he can be my people, that I can be his father, and he can be my son. Come on, somebody. God understands the inner warfare that goes on the inside of man. He knows that there's a battleground between your flesh and the spirit that's in you, the spirit of God that's in you, called the battleground of your mind. He knows that in this world, the enemy throws things at you to make you process information wrong. There's a constant onslaught from the enemy to make what's right wrong, and to make what's wrong right. Come on, somebody. There's a battle going on for your soul. But listen, God will fight for you. Amen. Don't ever get to the place that you feel like you're all alone. Like I said earlier, Jesus walked right through that storm and walked right up to them and said, peace be still. Why? Because he did not want the storm to have victory over them, but he showed them that he can give them victory over that storm. He'll give you victory over that storm. God is not going to leave you. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's not going to forsake you. He is not going to leave you. He's not going to bring you out only for the devil to drag you back. Come on, somebody. He will chasten you. He will cause life to be uncomfortable for you in order to bring you back to the place of promise, the place of blessedness, the place of inheritance, the place of manifold blessings. He will bring you back to that place before he allowed the enemy to drag you back. Come on. You ought to tell yourself, I ain't going back. The devil can't have me. The Bible says that I am the Lord's inheritance. Praise the Lord. And the devil can't have me back. What God has blessed, the devil can't curse. Amen. Amen. I belong to the Lord. Amen. Another thing that can bring your spirit down, and listen good at this, because Lord knows this is a place of concern, even in the body of Christ. But negative and critical words can bring down your spirit. They can injure you. How many know words are injurious? They can be harmful. When we was kids, we used to say that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, how many know the devil is a liar? Critical words can penetrate deeply and hurt or even wound our spirit, especially when it comes from a parent. You know, we have experienced people who once were children and now they are adults, and they talk about how their parents always said negative things about them. One of the things that we hear commonly is when a parent will say that you will never amount to anything. Sometimes parents are in a painful position themselves when mama and daddy is no longer together. And when little Johnny start acting up, sometimes the custodial parent may say, you act just like your mother, you act just like your father. And they say it as an insult because they are hurt from the actions of their spouse or former spouse. And they will say to the child, you act just like your daddy, you act just like your mama. And that will cause injury. That wounds that child. Praise the Lord. That causes them to see their non-custodial parent, if that's the case, in a negative light. Praise the Lord. And they don't want to feel that they are like that parent. And they will spend their whole life trying not to be like that parent that their mother or their father highly criticized. Amen. So words can penetrate deeply. They can hurt. It could be words coming from a spouse or a friend or a leader, particularly in the church. You know, I don't care if my boss say he don't like me, but when you have a spiritual leader, a pastor, an overseer that speaks to you in a manner that hurts you, it can be devastating. That's why the Bible says that the tongue can be destructive. It can be, listen, it can be destructive as hell. Look, turn in your Bibles to the book of James. And I hope you hear my Bible pages turning, because I'm in the Word this morning. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now look at this. Now the Bible says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Remember what we said the word iniquity means? That it means to be crooked or to be perverse or to be rebellious. Amen. the Bible is saying that the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. The tongue is a fire, a world of crookedness, perverseness, a world of wickedness. Amen. You can cause perversion to take place with your tongue. You can speak crooked and strange and wicked things with your tongue. Amen. So the tongue is, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Man, that is a strong statement. James is saying, look, your tongue can be destructive. Your tongue can speak perverse things. You can speak curses with your tongue. You can speak chants and incantations with your tongue. You can speak lies with your tongue. You can sing songs of perverseness with your tongue. Come on, somebody. A man's tongue is set on fire with hell, and it can destroy the course of a person's whole life. How? By inflicting wounds into your spirit. That's why God says that we have to speak the word. When somebody speak a curse in your life, you've got to begin to speak the word and say, hey, I'm blessed. And what God has blessed, no man can curse. You've got to counteract the years of curses, the years of being told that you're not going to amount to anything, that you're a bad wife, a bad husband, you was a bad child, a bad student. Come on, somebody. Everybody want to speak something negative into your life. But at some point, you got to say, look, the devil is a liar. The Bible says that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. If I was nothing, God would not have found me and saw value in me. So I'm not going to believe the report of men. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And God said that there is value in me, that I mean something. I meant enough to him for him to find me and save me and put his spirit in me. And then he put me in the ministry. That's why the Bible says in Timothy that I've been counted faithful, for he has enabled me by putting me in the ministry. God will validate you. He will speak life into you. I will speak life into you on this broadcast right now and speak to your soul and say, the devil is a liar. Whatever the enemy has spoken into your life, whether it took on the face of a friend, a confidant, a mother, a father, a so-called spiritual leader, I want to tell you that God has placed value upon your life. How do I know? He woke you up this morning and put breath in your body and gave you another day to get it right, to recover, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you are saved, you can declare to every curse that has been spoken against you, you can say, the devil is a liar. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what? That's one of my favorite scriptures. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You don't know how many times I've had to remind myself, come on somebody, when things don't go right, when people look at my present situation and they begin to speak crooked or perverse things against me, come on somebody, when people begin to speak curses and lies and spread a rumor out on you, if nobody else encourage you, you've got to do like David did and get somewhere and encourage yourself in the Lord and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't know what David said to encourage himself, but all I know is when he came out of that place, he rose up and he pursued and he overtook it. I don't know exactly what all of what Jesus said while he was out in the wilderness praying and fasting for 40 days as he was being tempted of the devil, but I do know the Bible says that when he came out of that place, When he came out of that place, he came out and he was full of faith and power. You've got to be able to counteract the tongue that speaks against you, that set on fire from hell and said, no, no, that is not the report of the Lord. That is not what God said my life shall be. That is not the destiny that God has ordained for my life. You may speak that I'm a failure, but God said that he has thoughts of good and not evil, and he has given me an expected end. That's why when you get finished being counseled, when you get finished reading your self-help books, you've got to eventually turn to what God said and say, I believe the report of the Lord. You've got to encourage yourself because, you know, David said in Psalms 41 that even his own familiar friend had raised up his heel against me. Listen, I am all for having people in your life to be accountable to. I'm all for having people in your life that will encourage you. I got people in my life that encourage me. I got people that I can talk to, people that I can turn to. But at times, even they may betray you. They may turn against you. They may be hanging around you because they want what you got, be where you are, and have what you have. David said, those friends turned against me that ate my bread, that sat at my table, that I had sweet communion with. When betrayal comes, when calamity comes, when things come against you to try to conquer your soul, you've got to have enough peace on the inside of you, enough Holy Ghost in you, that if you have to get by yourself and encourage yourself, speak a word over your own life. Somebody said, lay hands on your own self and speak life. Get in the mirror and speak life to yourself. Get in the mirror and see the wondrous works of the Lord that's in your life. Get in the mirror and say, if I want to see a miracle, all I got to do is look at myself. You ought to go to a mirror right now and just look at yourself and say, I am a miracle. You ought to begin the healing process of your soul right now by saying, I'm a miracle. Amen. I am a freak of nature. I done went against the grain. God broke some natural laws in my life so that I could experience the supernatural. God has spoken some things in my life that's bigger than where I am right now. You ought to tell all of your haters, your detractors, the people in your life that said he down, he ain't getting up. You ought to tell them that the devil is a liar. David said that the people that came to see me while I was down, they went out into the public and said a disease has got him, he is down, and he ain't coming up no more. But you ought to tell them, I ain't down for the count. Come on, somebody. I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm not believing that report. It may look bad on the outside, but they don't see the fight that you got on the inside. Yeah, they don't understand that God has given you a strength that will even bring you up out of your worst situation. They don't know that there's a fight on the inside of you, that the Spirit of God is boiling over on the inside of you and is keeping your outside situation from destroying your inner peace. Yeah, you may have cried, you may have complained sometime, but in the end, you come back to what God said. And that's what I want to get into your spirit, that God will help your soul to recover. He's not going to allow you to be a failure on what it is that is taking place in your life. And I want you to understand, people of God, that once this thing is over, God is going to give you the victory. He's going to give you the victory. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We thank you. We thank you for joining this broadcast on today. We thank you for everything that you have given us, and we just want to praise the Lord for your being here. Amen. Listen, if you want to call in to the number at 218-766-4882. Amen. And you can call in and join us anytime we have this broadcast. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We will come to you next Sunday at the same time at 8 a.m. Amen.